Monitor 65 on July the 10th. This is a special day in Wyoming, their anniversary. 75 years ago today, Wyoming was admitted to the Union as the 44th state. So congratulations to all 330,066 Wyomingians. You know, that's a small population for the ninth largest state. There are only 3 people per square mile in Wyoming. Now, for comparison, in New York State, there are about 360 people per square mile. Of course, right now, out at Coney Island and Jones Beach in New York, it looks more like 360 per beach towel. Here are Ray Ellis and the orchestra up from the beach. No room there, I guess.
Protection you can trust. The safe shower-to-shower protection of Old Spice Stick. Neat, quick, covers in seconds. No mess, never sticky. Try it. Old Spice Stick, the deodorant with a man's kind of freshness. Just $1. And for an aftershave lotion that's cool, clean, and fresh, nothing even comes close to Old Spice. Old Spice, brisk, exhilarating, with that tangy masculine aroma that wins feminine approval every time. Just $1.25. Try it.
Hey there, refresh your face with the cool, clean tang of Old Spice. A fresh breeze from the southern seas, that's the way it is with Old Spice. Fresh as a breeze, yo-ho, yo-ho.
About all I've ever known about roses is that you're supposed to remember to send some to your wife on your wedding anniversary. But that was before the Hallmark Gallery on Fifth Avenue here in New York City opened a summer exhibition called The Rose. Monitor reporter Charlie Holmes visited it and interviewed Gene Gordon, a leading expert on roses.
Gene Gordon, people sometimes use the expression sub rosa. Does that have anything to do with roses?
Absolutely. In the early days of the Romans and the Greeks, roses were often on the ceilings, and everything that was conducted under the rose, therefore, was supposed to be secret. And that's how the word sub rosa came
underneath
to be used, underneath the rose.
When you say on the ceiling, you mean there were designs or real roses?
Real roses, as a rule, wreaths of them.
Did the Romans use roses a lot for different...
A great deal.
...ceremonies?
Yes, and Cleopatra is supposed to have had a carpet of roses on all of the banquet floors. And the Romans used them on their graves.
Did you actually walk on the carpet of roses?
They were 18 inches deep.
18 inches deep?
And they slept. They slept on roses.
No thorns?
That'd be something.
In other words, those were the thornless roses.
Yes.
So that it is true that people have slept on a bed of roses.
On a bed of roses. That's where so many of these expressions come from.
I know this is quite a change from the historical background of roses, but I understand you cook with roses. Do you have a particular dish that you like most made with roses?
Well, rose petal jam is especially delicious. It is used in Turkey and in Greece and France. And also, there is a jam made of the rose hips.
What's a rose hip?
That's the little seed pod that's left after the petals drop. And this pod is green at first, and then in the fall it becomes a bright red. And in this country, it's mostly the birds that enjoy it.
We don't know about it, is that?
No. As a matter of fact, one handful of rose hips provides the vitamin C goodness of 60 oranges, plus liberal amounts of vitamin A, and more phosphorus, calcium, and iron.
What goes into rose jam?
Just the petals and sugar.
Does it have an aroma of roses?
Delicious, yes. It's an exotic thing.
Where did garden roses that we grow originate?
They're supposed to have come from China, and I think one of the fascinating things, I know one of the things which fascinate tourists who come to my museum, is the genealogy of roses. Very few people know that a rose, a new rose, has a family tree, just as people have. They have parents and grandparents, and it makes it very, very fascinating to find out what were the parents of a rose.
And this can go back centuries.
Centuries, yes.
Well, famous people have been connected with roses. I understand that Nehru, the premier of India, wore a rose. Was there a special significance?
Yes, he wrote to me a very wonderful account of that, why he wore the red rose. In the beginning, he did it just because the outfit which he wore was always white, and he wanted some color. And one day he put a red rose, and it became such an effective thing that he used it as a symbol from that time on.
Well, roses, we find them on all sorts of things as symbols, don't we?
Yes. Almost every old English coin has a Tudor rose on it. It might be so small that you'd have to use a magnifying glass to see it.
Do they use them on postage stamps?
In other countries, yes, and very beautifully. In Peru, they have a great number of stamps with roses.
The rose is a symbol. What is its specific symbol? What does it mean?
Well, it stands for love and virtue. In fact, all of the finer, the nobler qualities of man are supposed to be expressed by the rose.
Do you know why this came about?
Well, perhaps because it was one of the most loved of all objects.
Of flowers.
And of almost all objects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a man began to connect it into almost every facet of his life.
Love is always connected with roses.
Absolutely. Most men send their wives or someone a dozen red roses, and that seems to do the trick.
Thank you, Jean Gordon, author of a book titled Rose Recipes, Customs, Facts, and Fancies, for a most interesting bouquet of rose information and history. This is Charlie Holmes.
White hot charcoal, heat, searing heat, hamburgers cooking, heat that can sizzle away natural meat juices. But with Adolph's Instant Meat Tenderizer, you can keep burgers juicy. Even over hot barbecue fires, you'll serve the juiciest, most flavorful burgers you ever barbecued. The biggest, too, because Adolph's cuts shrinkage. Try it next cookout. Adolph's Instant Meat Tenderizer.
You're on the Monitor Beacon. I'm Ed McMahon for Monitor. Looking forward to Peggy Lee in just 1 minute.
Hello from Malibu Beach, California, the starting point of the first cross-country speedboat race ever held in America. 3,000 miles across this great country, ending up in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Throughout the day, the Coca-Cola Company will be bringing you this exciting event. The leading contender, oh, here's one of the battle
up to my lips, Bill, because I'm really thirsty. I can feel that crisp, full taste nipping at the tip of my tongue.
Mr. Vernon Beaton.
Beaston, Beaston.
Of Eastern Pennsylvania. Mr. Easton.
Beaston, Beaston.
A race will establish a new endurance record for speedboats, right?
Yeah, this race of man and machine against the many miles. Akron, Ohio, where we'll have to carry the boat 350 miles by hand.
The other contestants are Walt Minsterman, Ernie Zam, and Clyde Ledwood. Is that about it?
Nothing like a frosty bottle of ice-cold Coke. It's something more than just an ordinary soft drink.
What would you say?
Well, in the semifinals in Venice.
Join us later, friends, when the Coca-Cola Company continues its coverage of the Transcontinental Speedboat Race.
You say bottle cap?
Shadow of your smile when you are gone will color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes, my love. To me, a wistful little star was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I.
The shadow of your smile, Miss Peggy Lee.
Come on over to the L&M side. Come on over for the taste of it. Come on over, you'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side.
The L&M side is for people who want taste and plenty of it. When you think about it, that's plenty.
Come on over, you'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side.
For the cigarette you can taste.
Monitor presents Chet Huntley Report, brought to you by Pennzoil, the motor oil worth asking for. Pennzoil, the pure Pennsylvania oil, contains its own complete additive Z7 and needs no other additive of any kind. Here's Chet.
It's clarifying, but not particularly comforting, to state the proposition of Vietnam in new ways. But we might take a try at it. This is Chet Huntley reporting. I'll be back in a moment after this message from Pennzoil.
There's an old expression that goes, the squeaking wheel gets the oil. Well, that's simply a picturesque way of saying, if you want something, squeak up. You got to ask for it. Well, this is exactly the case when it comes to getting the finest motor oil for your car. And the finest is Pennzoil, as thousands of motorists agree. Pennzoil, the motor oil that's worth asking for. Once you've tried it and seen for yourself the improvement in your car's performance, you'll join the thousands of Pennzoil fans who ask for it at every oil change. Why do so many motorists actually take the trouble to ask for Pennzoil? Because they've found that Pennzoil isn't just as good, it's the best. The finest pure Pennsylvania oil, complete with power additive D7, built right in at no extra cost. Next time you drive into your service station, garage, or your new car dealer for service, make sure the oil you get is Pennzoil with D7. How do you make sure? Easy. Ask for it. Once again, Chet Huntley.
If there were no such thing as the possibility of a big nuclear holocaust, our dilemma in Vietnam would be relatively simple. Long ago, we might have leveled the industrial complex at Haiphong and on the outskirts of Hanoi, forcing the Vietnamese to pay too much for their adventure in South Vietnam. However, the big nuclear war is a real threat. And presumably, it's our settled policy that our interests in Southeast Asia are not sufficiently vital, are not of such top priority as to warrant the big nuclear war. That grim prospect is reserved only when our most vital interests are threatened. When Soviet missiles are discovered in Cuba, for example. When the adversary is on our doorstep, but not down the road. We don't know where the vital interests of the Soviet Union are. Or, to put it another way, we don't know where Soviet leadership thinks its vital interests are. The Soviet Union is the only possible adversary which can wage modern nuclear warfare. The Chinese can wage massive land warfare, but again, our air and missile response to their manpower could conceivably demand from them too much of a price. We could conceivably knock out and destroy much of everything China has accomplished in the past 20 years or more. In some respects, the Soviet Union is like us. It does not want the big war either. But neither will it lie down, play dead, or surrender when its vital interests are threatened. At least we have every reason to believe this is the case. So, does the Soviet Union have a prime interest in Southeast Asia? Does anyone in the West know for certain? Congressman Gerald Ford says no, but he adds that if he should be wrong and Moscow should have a primary interest there, then it would be too bad. The Soviet Union would have to take the consequences. We, presumably, would take them, too. Others believe the Soviets may have a primary interest in Southeast Asia, a primary interest in keeping their license as good communists by going to the aid of another communist regime. Or the Soviets may see us engaged in trying to draw a line across Asia, as one has already been drawn across Europe, beyond which communism adventures at its own peril. It could conceivably be of primary interest to the Soviet Union that such a line not be drawn in Asia. But our handicap in Vietnam is our ignorance about Soviet Russia's prime interest. This is Chet Huntley, NBC News, reporting for Monitor.
Pennzoil, the ask-for motor oil, has presented Chet Huntley Reports, a special Monitor feature. At new car dealers and garages and at service stations where you buy your gasoline, ask for Pennzoil, the motor oil worth asking for. Entice playing the Knack. Monitor is nationwide. In Colorado, dial KOA Denver, the 50,000-watt voice of the West. As for what voice this is, it's Ed McMahon for Monitor.
For news, sports, music, it's Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.